Have you ever wondered about this word righteousness? When we hear the word righteousness, we immediately think some religious teaching that tells us that we've got to be holy and we can't sin and we can't curse and we can't smoke or drink or chase women or men or both. While all of that may be part of the course, does it really tell us what God's righteousness is?
Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Today on Intentional, we continue our teaching on the names of God. And today, you will discover what it means to worship the Lord our righteousness. Today is our third part series on the names of God. And if you heard the other messages, we taught on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God our provider. And we've taught on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God our healer. Now, the reason I began this series is because I hear so often about who God is. The question comes up, who is God? And you know, we worship out of our relationship. We worship out of what we understand or who we understand God to be. And if we don't know what we worship or who we worship, then how can we be a true worshiper? Worshiping God begins with understanding his attributes, understanding the heart of God, and how he manifests those attributes in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives. I've been teaching people across social media, keep the main thing the main thing. Never lose your focus. And the focus should always be on the one who created us. How can we even go on a journey of self-discovery until we discover where we come from? There's a lot of genealogy searching right now, ancestry, bloodline, trying to understand where we come from so we can better understand ourselves. I can cut that very short and save you a ton of money because I know that we come from the Father of life, the Father of righteousness, the Father of love, and he is manifesting himself in many different ways. So today I want to introduce to you, and some of you may already know this, so what? You get to hear it again. I want to introduce to you two more names of God, as a matter of fact. And as we pray, I want you to join in with me, and let's go to God in prayer and receive this word with an open heart and ready to be transformed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for all people in all nations, and that we have this great opportunity to bring forth the word of faith that would ignite faith inside of each and every one of us, ignite our passions, and help us to become the change agents that you so desire for us to be. I thank you, Father God, that our hearts are open to receive what the Spirit is saying to our local church, because we are the house of God, the temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Father, we thank you and praise you now for the manifestation of your goodness, your grace, and your word today that will not return void, but accomplish what you please, and it will prosper where it is being sent today, in Jesus' name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and today we share with you another name of God, Jehovah Tisgenu. Jehovah Tisgenu, and it spells T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. It's an Old Testament name of God, and it occurs at least twice in the Old Testament. One place is in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, where the scripture reads, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And in the Old Testament, looking in the Strong's Concordance, we find, and in the Septuagint, we find out that the Lord our righteousness was originally written as Jehovah Tisgenu. What does it mean for God to be our righteousness? What does it mean for him to manifest himself in that way in our lives? So let's look at what it means for righteousness. Let's look at the word righteousness and what it means. Immediately, many people will think, well, you got to be holy, you can't drink, cuss, or smoke, you got to do all these things and all these regulations and all these rules that are compounded upon the souls of people that they cannot live under. But when we look in scripture and we discover that the name, the word righteousness in the name of God is suggests to become, to be straightforward. And it's a combined word, Jehovah Tisgenu. We know that the name Jehovah means Lord. And it means the Lord who is, he is Lord over all. He's the head of every living thing. So when we look at Tisgenu, it means to become known. It suggests that he has become our righteousness. And the scriptures teach us in the New Testament that Christ is our righteousness. So it doesn't make sense then to me, since Christ is our righteousness, and I'll remove the word if, because if is a conditional word, and this is without condition. Christ is our righteousness, and it's one of the chief attributes of God. As I mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, its chief meaning concerns, it did concern ethical conducts, teaching the children of Israel how to walk with a God they had never experienced before. After all, they had been down in Egypt for so long, they had lost consciousness of the Creator. They had lost consciousness of who God was and is. And so God came in to teach them exactly who he is and what he is expecting of them. Righteousness was part of the covenant. Righteousness was part of the agreement. God would do something, and the people were expected to do something. You know, every relationship should be built on reciprocity. You do something, I'll do something. We have an agreement at the table. That is called a contract, a covenant. So God came into covenant with his people. He would bless them if they would do something. He would show himself strong if they would learn how to lean and depend upon him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we can read that in the Bible where it says, "If you would hearken diligently to observe and to do all that I command you to do today, then these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. You would be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out, blessed coming in." And then he goes on to say in the 13, 14th verse, "If you don't obey me, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, then these curses come upon you." He said, "Oh no, I don't want the curses to come upon me." Then God said, "Well, just do what I'm asking you to do." Now, why is God giving Israel these mandates, these commandments that we know them as? He is telling them these things because he knows what's good for them. God knows what works for us, and he also knows what doesn't work. He knows the life that he has planned for us. He knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. He knows the desires that he has for us. And he wants us to grow up and know what he knows. So when we look at the now righteousness, it means, you know, these this covenant, this behavior that we have toward him. How are we responding to God? That's righteousness. Our response to God, or lack of response, dictates whether or not we're walking in righteousness. Here he is, the living, breathing, walking, talking God, ready to manifest himself in your life in greater ways than you can even imagine, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power, his power, that is at work within us. As good as your life may be, my friend, in your eyes, there's a better one. As wonderful as things seem to be going right now for you, just imagine it being even multiplied to be even better. You see, until we recognize the source of all life, the source of all power, we will never understand what it truly means to walk in the righteousness of God and know him as Jehovah Tiskenu. I love what the New Testament says about Jesus being our righteousness, which means that I don't have to try to stop cussing, smoking, drinking, chasing men, or whatever. I don't have to worry about those things anymore. You know why? I said anymore. I don't have to worry about those things anymore because I depend upon the source of righteousness. I tap into the righteousness of God, so it's not faith's righteousness that is keeping me. I choose not to be promiscuous. I choose not to smoke or to drink. I choose those things. I choose those things out of my love for God. It's not difficult for me. I can pass by a bar. It's not difficult. I can pass by people who are drinking or whatever they're doing. If they're doing, overboard. I can pass by that. It's not tempting to me. Why is it not tempting to me? Because I am not keeping myself. I know somebody will tell you, well, you've got self-discipline. You are strong. No, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I do not take credit for passing by the bar. I do not take credit for not wanting somebody else's husband. I do not take credit for not getting drunk last night. I cannot take credit for not being high on crack right now. You may think I am, but I'm not. I cannot take credit for keeping myself. I must give that to the source of all life, the one who brought me, the one who saved me. I've got to give him credit, and I've got to give him glory. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but it's by grace that I have been saved. And I can't come in this room and teach you that, you know, stop your drinking, cussing, smoking. But you know what? Because that doesn't work. It's kind of like the thing that they were doing a few years ago in school. And I had the entire curriculum, just say no. Just say no to drugs. Well, that didn't work. Then they started the campaign, just say no to pregnancy. Well, that didn't work. You can't tell people, don't stop drinking, cussing, smoking, because you just introduced the fault. You just introduced all those things. And you don't have to train people to sin. They do that very, very well. But in the righteousness of God, he is saying, you have a covenant to keep. And your covenant with me is to understand that you're not by yourself. You're not out here trying to keep your life. You may think you are all of that in a bag of chips. You're not. You're not out here trying to keep your own life. You can't, because it's only the source of life that can keep you. Until you realize that, you'll live this life that can be so amazing, but missing so many vital pieces. You know, we can come out on stage when the light is on and we can shine, you know, showtime, and we can come out and put it on. But man, when the mic is off and the lights are off, then what's going on the inside of you that's really killing you? All of the modalities that we can use in this life, and they're really good, but those are the external things. What I'm teaching you today is on the inside out, ladies and gentlemen. It's from the inside out. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received Jehovah Tiskenu. You have received the ability to keep the covenant with God. You have received the ability to walk in righteousness, right standing, standing right where you need to be in covenant with God. And you're no longer a covenant breaker, but you're a covenant keeper. So you didn't wake up this morning and decided, well, you know what? I'm going to break the covenant of God. No, you didn't. You woke up. Many of you may be in meditation, or maybe you read your Bible, maybe you read some other inspirational material, maybe you just went into prayer. I don't know what your worship is like. I don't know what your meditation is like. And so you didn't start your day with a desire to break covenant with God. Matter of fact, some of you, maybe it didn't even cross your mind that we have a covenant with God to keep. Israel, God's people, have always had a covenant with God to keep. Now, you may not call yourself an Israelite, but those who are born again are spiritual Israel. May thank God for that, that we are now born again children of the Most High God, and we have now entered that covenant of righteousness. So when I go into areas of my life and I feel inadequate, or I feel as though I cannot do certain things, or I don't have the strength, or whatever that I may be experiencing in the moment, I know that I can go to the source of my righteousness, and I can remember that I have a covenant with God. He has a covenant with me, and He wants me to know that I am not alone. He's never left me. He'll never forsake me, that we are in agreement for my goodness and for His glory, and that I have the holy nature of God on the inside of me. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that He's called out of darkness into His marvelous light. How beautiful. That's poetry. That's a work of love to me. That He's called me. He's called me into light. These things that we hear concerning light and spirit and energy, they're not new. They're words. But God is spirit. And spirit gives birth to spirit. And God has given birth to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us a new birth, that we can receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and begin to move in a whole new dimension of God's reality. Today's teaching on Jehovah Tiskanu will continue, because we want to also talk about another name of God and tie it in so that you will have greater understanding that you don't have to keep yourself. You don't have to try to stop your drinking, cussing, smoking. You don't have to try to be righteous. You don't have to try to stop being discouraged, because Jesus has paid the price so that all that the Father is now resident on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that is the best news you're going to hear today, right here on Intentional.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Here on Intentional, we bring the message of faith. We are the faith-based Out Loud radio broadcast here every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to bring you messages of hope, inspiration, motivation, encouragement. And thank you so much for letting me know that these messages are a blessing to you. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord God, our righteousness. He is the one who is living on the inside of us that keeps us through these storms of life. He is the one that navigates these waters when we feel as though that we have lost control, and Lord knows we do. We're not as in control of ourselves as we seem to think. Matter of fact, I think we're being more deceived than not when we think that we are the ones that are in control. I've heard people speak as if they were God, that I'm my own God and I can do it this way and that way. You know, yeah, maybe you can. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of who you are and where you come from, I mean, I've stood at the bedside of many people, some of them near and dear to my heart, including my mom and my sister, who took their final breath, and nothing mattered was where do we go from here. And this is an opportunity for those of you who don't know where you're going from here, is to know by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we're going to pray with you before the end of today's broadcast, because we want you to know the Savior that we know. Jehovah Tiskenu is our righteousness. He's called us kings and priests unto God the Father. He said, if you keep the covenant that I'm giving you, you're going to see the manifestation of my presence and my power. What covenant is he wanting us to keep today? In the Old Testament, he's told Israel, I do something, you do something, I'll do something. If you obey, you get the blessings. If you disobey, well, you know, you get the cursing. Who wants to live under disobedience and cursings? But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has come, and he's become our righteousness. So what does God expect us to do? Christ has done it all. He said, it is finished. He did a finished work on Golgotha's hill. And because he did a finished work, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. He said it was done. What was done? He had redeemed us, meant he brought us back. He had reconciled us. He brought us back into right relationship with God, into righteousness, righteous standing with God, that we're no longer aliens from the covenant of promise. We're no longer rejects and orphans, but now we have a Father who loves us. This righteousness of God brings us back to the place, as we receive Jesus Christ, it brings us back to the place where we are standing right, listen to me, standing right where we belong in the kingdom of God. We are standing in the righteous place. We are standing in the covenant place. As he has become our righteousness, we have also become, listen to me closely or you'll miss this, we have also become his righteousness. Well, so now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm not concerned about all those things I mentioned earlier. I don't want to keep saying them because some of you might get an appetite. I'm not concerned about all of those things. What I'm concerned about is keeping myself focused on what God is saying to me from the inside out. And I know there are people who say, well, you know, God's not really talking today. Oh, yes, he is. You just have to learn how to listen. The next name of God I want to share with you during this broadcast is Jehovah Makadosh. It means the Lord who sanctifies you. I've heard ministers over the years trying to sanctify people. Oh, how horrible, horrible, horrible that is. Because people sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday after Sunday being sent to hell, telling them that they're not righteous. I actually sat through a message, and God helped me to sit through it because the fay of myself wanted to exit myself. But I sat through this teaching, and this teaching was what women should and should not wear. Take off your pantyhose. You know, don't wear colored pantyhose. I mean, really, it was just that ridiculous. Don't wear shoes with your toes out. And I went, where are we? What is this? I've never heard this. I was so blown away by what I was hearing. I thought, my God, and people are actually sitting here, and everything that this preacher taught was against women. And I thought, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. It was against women, what women could and could not wear. Right. No makeup. That's ugly. No this and no that. And I said, that is not God. And I knew. I said, they would never accept me in this church because I'm going to wear pants. I'm going to wear my makeup, my red lipstick. I like that. But that's how they defined sanctification. That's how they defined holiness and righteousness. They made holiness into a religious doctrine instead of realizing holiness means that you're whole, nothing missing and nothing broken. It doesn't mean that I need to take off my makeup and I need to wear a certain type of clothing and I need to, you know, all these rigid rules and structure that God didn't do give us. You know, Jesus paid an awesome price to his blood was shed on Calvary's cross on Golgotha's hill. He died. He really died, people, so that we might live. He paid a price. And not to leave us ignorant, he paid a price so that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes holy. So since he makes us holy, I don't have to concern myself about what I'm wearing, what I'm not wearing, whether or not I have on makeup. I don't have, what waste of energy and time. I'm so serious. To spend time on worrying about my makeup, worrying about whether or not I can wear pants. I thank God that I am not under bondage. Jesus died to make me free. Whenever anybody tries to silence me or to make me feel inferior in any way, or I feel that pressure because nobody can really make me silent or nobody can really force me into any oppressive state. They used to, but not anymore. But when I feel that spirit trying to overtake me, I speak up. And I said, too much blood has been shed for me. First of all, Jesus Christ died on the tree. Then Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in the name of freedom. And Martin Luther King Jr., by the way, who we're getting ready to celebrate the 50th year of the anniversary of his death here this year. And all that blood that has been shed so that people might like me can be free. I choose freedom every time. I choose to let this silent voice be heard right here on America Out Loud. When God told Moses this in Exodus 31 and 13, we see where the name Jehovah Makadosh was mentioned in the Old Testament. He told him, he said, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep my Sabbath day. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Now, this is Old Testament. He was God who sanctified them then. What is he doing today? Did he stop sanctifying his people, setting us apart? That's what sanctification means, to be set apart unceasingly, to be dedicated back to God, to be holy. It doesn't mean these physical things that we see. Knowing who we are and whose we are brings a spirit of sanctification, means set apart. That means that my life is set apart. It's set apart from sickness. It's set apart from disease. It's set apart from oppression. It's set apart from poverty. That's not where I belong. It's set apart from fear because I'm walking in faith. Are you following me? It is set apart so that I'm no longer a product of the world, of the culture, or of the societal norms. I am now a product of the kingdom of God. I got to teach that, the kingdom of God. I am a product of the kingdom of God. So therefore, I am sanctified. I am righteous. And so you see why I tied Jehovah Makadosh and Jehovah Tiskanu into the same message, because they do work together. He is one. Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord who is holy, the Lord who covers us and is gave us a place in himself, the Lord who sets us apart. True enough, we're different. We're supposed to be different. And that doesn't mean walking around being weird different or being religious different. ready to destroy somebody because I am of God. And how many groups have come out to say, I'm working under God and this is the righteousness of God that I destroy you? I know groups, hate groups, that are using the name of God. People who are saying that they're righteous, but yet they have no manifestation of Jehovah Tiskanu or Jehovah Makadosh or Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Rapha living in the house. There's no manifestation of that because everything that he is love. Jehovah Rapha is manifesting love and the Lord God who heals. Jehovah Jireh is manifesting love and the Lord God who provides. Jehovah Tiskanu is manifesting love in the Lord God, our righteousness. Jehovah Makadosh is manifesting love in the Lord God who sanctifies us, set us apart. He could not do these things if he was not love. God is love. And he has separated a people out of love. He has shown us his goodness and his glory. I don't know. I cannot fathom people walking through this earth without holding this relationship internally with God. Now, we may have different opinions on interpretation of scriptures and different commentary that we subscribe to, but that's okay. No biggie. But as long as you know at the end of the day, you must be born again. Jesus Christ must be your Lord and Savior. You know that? If you know that, then you're good. You're good. Because there are different groups who believe in a different way and they celebrate him in different ways. But anybody who tells you that you don't have to have Jesus as a Savior, you don't need to be born again, they're lying to you straight up. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. You must be born again and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to be this perfect Christian going to church every Sunday. I don't subscribe to that because I've been to a lot of churches that I would not recommend. I'm saying it. I'm just saying. I'm here on America Out Loud. I am just telling you the truth. I am just saying. I've been to some churches that I would not refer people over to. And I've heard so many messages that from different people that I would not recommend people to go listen to. But I'm telling you that you can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting right here listening to me every Sunday. And you should listen to this broadcast and receive the word of God. Receive a word of faith. Receive inspiration in your heart because he is our righteousness. He's the God who sanctifies you. Don't let anybody make you feel bad about you. Not me, the Pope, nobody. Make you feel bad about being who you are. Discover this relationship that I'm describing to you, and you can discover him right there, right where you are today. You don't have to wait until you go into a cathedral with stained glass windows and a cushioned pew. You don't have to wait until you see a man with a collar. You don't have to wait for anything like that. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. All you have to do is simple. It's real simple. All you have to do is just ask him to come in and he will do that. You know, he loves us so much that he doesn't want you going any farther in life thinking that you've got to do it by yourself, darling. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to travel this path by yourself. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a Lord who loves us so much. He will not give up on us, and he doesn't want you to give up on him. Don't you dare give up on yourself. You are worth saving. You were worth saving over 2,000 years ago. We're doing this series on his names because you can become more acquainted with the person after you know their attributes. Isn't that what happens in relationships? You spend time with them, you get to know their character, you get to know their attributes, you get to know a little bit more about them, and then you feel comfortable in that setting. So I want you to get to know him, to have this relationship with him, and to develop a hunger for the Bible, to begin to read it. Don't be afraid of it. It's not a scary book. It really isn't. And I know people will write me and say, well, you know, if the Bible doesn't tell it all. Well, you know what? 66 books, it tells enough. It's enough. It's enough already. Yes, I know about the lost books of the Bible. I know about the book of Esau. I know about these books. But let me tell you something. If you can just get the little bit, the 66 books, if you can get a hold of that, and believe me, I went for a long time and I did not read the Old Testament. And nor the book of Revelations. I did not. I remember reading the book of Revelations one time to a roommate. And that's because she was living in hell. But I got into bed with her and I started reading the book of Revelations to her because she had been out all night. And she pleaded with me, don't read that book again. The book to her was like a scary movie. And it is, unless you have insight, unless the Spirit of God helps you to read it. So I'm encouraging you to get to know God and pick up the book, pick up the Bible, and begin to read these names and refer to some of these scriptures on your own. When I give you scripture references, go back and read them again and see it for yourself. It's there. I promise you, it's there. And begin to be encouraged to know that the Bible is a safe place. It's a safe book. It's okay. It's been around longer than any other book on the face of the planet, and it will stay around. It has more translations than any other book. It is powerful if you take time. And I always encourage people to begin to read in the book of Psalms. Psalms is my go-to book. Begin to read that. I have sat for a week and read through the entire Psalms, and it may not take you a week, but it, you know, just sat there and I read it, and I read through the Bible every year. I'm on my own plan and I read through it every year to get these names of God, to get this character of God, to get the attributes of God working through my life. Because there are so many voices out there, so many teachers out there, and not every teacher is going to lead you the right way, the way that you should go, whatever that is for you. They're not going to lead you to Christ. They're not going to lead you to know what will you do in your final breath. What conclusion will you have drawn in your final breath? You need to know that there is life after life that keeps on living. And we want you to keep on living because God is here manifesting life to you. Right here on Intentional, every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you too can receive a revelation of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. I'll be right back.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitz your news and entertainment network where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This message, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Makadosh, are extremely powerful because it takes your eyes off of your trying to fix your own life. That's what I want people to get. I do a lot of research on self-development, personal development, and the more I look into it, the more I realize that we need people who are actually experiencing Christ to help people in personal development. Because you can't begin to develop who you are until you make that connection. You can drift through life many, many times over and never find that. I remember listening not too long ago to Denzel Washington give a speech. He was doing some graduation speech, and it was one of the most motivational speeches I had ever heard. But everything he said, he gave God the glory. Have you noticed that? That there are people coming out of Hollywood, off of Wall Street, who are saying, you know what, I know about all of that, but let me tell you what I've discovered. They discovered that it's all about Jesus. So why don't you just decide today to give him your life, to give him all that you are. So what does that mean, Dr. Faye? Now, I'm going to take time to do this today because I don't think we really got into it in our previous broadcast, but you deserve it. I love you. So you deserve this right here. Jesus Christ paid a price on Golgotha's hill for you. He had you on his mind the day he died. So how could that be possible? He's God's son. He's the first begotten of the Father. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can never know who Jehovah Makadosh, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha are until you know what Jesus has done for you. You deserve this conversation today about the love of God that extended all the way from heaven, wherever heaven is, it is, into earth, so that Jesus could come forth in this in the body and manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. And you can't get to the Father but through me. And the Father says, if you receive the Son, you have received the Father, and because they're one. I don't know what you've been taught and what church you've gone to or what preacher you were introduced to as a small child. But that's not our God. He's relational, and he wants you to know just how much he really does love you. And some of you, maybe you feel so far away from him that you could never, ever feel that he would love you. And I want you to know that you're a perfect candidate for the love of God. You're just right for a revival to break out in your soul. You're just the one that his righteousness wants to envelop and his sanctification wants to take over your soul. You're just the very one. And you may think that, oh, I used to go to church or I used to fellowship, but then you got burned at church. Something horrible happened. You just got burned out. You just stopped. You got discouraged and you didn't go back. This message is not about your going back to church. Hello. This message is about your understanding that Jesus Christ loves you and that you can receive him from wherever you are and you can ask for forgiveness wherever you are today. I don't care who you are and where you come from. One of the most powerful things you could ever do in your life is to say, Lord, forgive me. I want you to wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. I want you to create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I want you to take this vessel as you said you would, like the potter did with the clay. Put me on the potter's wheel and make me all over again. Oh, I'm not perfect. I just know a perfect God. I don't do everything right all of the time, but I know who is my righteousness. When you turn to him, you'll find, like the story of the prodigal, that in the story of the prodigal, for those of you who don't know it, there's a parable in the Bible of a man whose son wanted his inheritance while the father was still living. He didn't like the idea of waiting till his father passed before he got his inheritance. So he asked for his inheritance, and the father obliged. He gave him his inheritance. He went off and he squandered it. You know what squandered is, right? Okay. He wasted the money. He wasted it. Just totally wasted all of his inheritance. And he found himself one day eating with the pigs. Really, he was eating pig's food. After having the best at his father's house, he went off and was eating pig's food. And one day, as while he was in the pig's pen, he came to himself and he realized something. He had an epiphany. He had an awakening. He had an aha moment. He came to himself and he said, "Ah, geez, I remember. I remember what it was like to have everything. I remember what it was like at my father's house. I didn't have to go this low for food because my father had everything. There was plenty to eat. I didn't worry about the roof over my head. I would not have found myself in this position in my father's house because even my father's servants are eating better than I am right today. So I need to relocate my soul and my body." So in his heart, in his mind, he went back home. In that moment, his heart and his mind had already returned home. So what follows next? Because wherever the mind goes, there goes the behind. What follows next was that he started on his way back home. And the story goes, and this is a biblical parable, the story goes that the father looked up and saw him coming afar off. He said, whoa, here comes my baby boy. He saw him coming off in the distance. And he gave the order to the servants. He said, go kill the fatted calf. It's time for a party. It's time for a celebration. Because here comes my son that I presume dead and lost. He's now coming back home. He's been found. The father didn't scold him and said, you fool, you wasted all that money. You know, the father didn't scold him. He embraced him. Did you hear that? Yes, yes, and yes. He embraced him. And when he embraced him, that son knew he was home. Some of you need to move now into the place where you can feel the embrace of God. And knowing that he's never taken his eyes off of you. Knowing that even though you've been running amok, you've been living a life that you know you should not have been living, and it hasn't been good for you or anybody else around you. Maybe it hasn't been your drugs, or it hasn't been your women or men or anything like that. Maybe it's just your mind, your soul. You've been wandering off in all of these different places and expecting God to meet you over there. But God said, I am here. I'm at a home. I'm where I've always been. All you need to do is turn around and come back home. And if you turn around and come back home, you'll find that the Father has been here all along, ready to embrace you. Jehovah Tiskanu will sanctify you. Jehovah Tiskanu will show you his righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh will show you his sanctification. Jehovah Jireh will tell you and show you how much he has already provided, made provisions for your life, went ahead of you, and made your destiny secure. My gosh. Jehovah Rapha will manifest divine health in your life. Does it mean you'll never get sick or you'll never struggle or go through things? I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to tell you straight. I don't know what you'll go through. I don't know what kind of hellacious events will occur in your life, but what I can assure you of this is that when you turn around and come back home, he will be there. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you even in spite of the storms, the chaos, the confusion, the trouble, the fire. Those places, he will still be with you. Because he wants to turn your dark days into sunny days. He wants to turn your tears of sadness into laughter. He wants to take your broken heart and bind it up and let you know that you don't have to stay in that broken place. I know you got money maybe, but your heart is broken. Maybe you've got some level of success and influence in the world, but when the lights are off in the office and you go home at night, your marriage is tore up. It's not just rocky, it's ruined. Maybe you've got a voice that nations will flock to and listen to, and you've got millions of followers around social media. But there's this thing that's turning on the inside of your belly, your core. And you feel sick to the stomach because you know you're walking in such fear and dread of losing it all. And you say to yourself every day, what will happen if I lose it all? You may not say it out loud. You may not say it so the world can hear it on the outside, but your body is saying it. That when your head does finally hit the pillow, you're concerned. You call it concern because it's a softer word than fear and worry, right? But as you turn around and realize that he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world, and he's made us more than conquerors through Christ who loves us, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, there is a peace of God that passes understanding that will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He's ready to rescue you from your own self. He's ready to rescue you from your own mind and to show you that in spite of the way your life has been going and the things that have been happening, repenting and turning around in your life, that he wants to come in, yeah, and be your superhero. Everybody's looking for a superhero, but we have one already. No thank you, Superman. No thank you, Batman, or any of those other people. Thank you, Jesus. We have one. Thank you. Yes, indeed. And he's robed in righteousness. He's the Lamb that was slain. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Master of the Wind. He's the only one that can speak to winds and tell them to be still. He's the only one. He's the only one that goes down in history as having done the things that he's done. As a matter of fact, the Bible records that there were so many miracles that if the books of this world were written, there would not be enough to contain, there would not be enough of them to contain all of the miracles that Jesus did during his 3.5 years ministry. They were just that many. He's the one. So we have a superhero. We have someone that we look up to. We have an icon. We have him. And those of you that turn around and say, Lord, you are my deliverer. Lord, you are my savior. You're Lord, 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 Lord. You're my main thing. You're my focus. You're paramount. You're above everything. You're above this corporation. You may be running a multi-million dollar corporation, but you're feeling the pressure in your body. Give it to him. Will you trust him enough today to give it to him? He knows what he's doing with your little old life. He knows what he's doing with your little old company. You think it's big and oh my goodness, it may be overwhelming to you, but it's nothing when it is compared to the kingdom of God. He can take your business and make it a masterpiece. He can take your life and turn it around and give you something to really praise him for. The day you give your company over to God is the day you learn how to let him be the CEO. The day you give your marriage over to God is the day you learn that he knows how to let love flow. The day you give your children over to him is the day you learn how to walk in victory, to know that they came from God, they're going back to God, and you're just the man or woman in the middle, that you can truly give them to him. So whatever it is that you're holding on to, release and let go and let God, because he wants to show you that he is your righteousness. He wants to keep you to keep the covenant that he wants to have with you, and let love begin to flow. I'm going to pray, but I want you to know there's a place of rest in God, and he doesn't want struggles and trials overwhelming you. Oh, they can come, but they can't stay. There's a difference. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful people, these great, great men and women all over the world. I thank you, Lord God, for those who've heard your word and received your word. We ask that your peace that passes understanding will keep their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, and I give you praise and worship right now for the abundance of joy, the abundance of peace moving through the airways, wherever people are listening, whenever they're listening, and that you are transforming hearts and minds right now. Those who have not known you, Lord God, are saying, Father, I do want to know if Jesus is real. I don't know what she's saying is real, but if you are, I want you to come in right now. I thank you, Lord, that you will meet them right there. Those who, Father, who once knew you but got discouraged along the way, Lord God, I thank you that they're turning around and they're coming home, and that you have already prepared a celebration, letting them know that there is no record of any wrong ever done, because you love us just like that. Thank you, Father God, for your forgiving power that you flood through us, your forgiveness. And Father, that we'll no longer be in bondage to anything of the past, that we have a right to the tree of life to start over, Father, to eternal life. And I thank you, Lord God, that the world will see your glory even greater because we have turned back to you. And Father, I thank you for strengthening those physically who need strength and manifesting divine health. I speak to headaches and I speak to diagnoses of terminal diagnoses. And I thank you, Lord God, for divine intervention. I send your word of healing that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I send your word of deliverance to cast out every unclean spirit and every demonic devil that would try to bind, hinder, or stand in the way of your people growing up in maturity. I thank you, Lord God, for healing marriages and healing families right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for every host across this platform. Lord, whatever the needs are, that you will begin to manifest your goodness and your glory. I thank you, Father God, for Malcolm and all of those that are attached, that you will continue to move through us and help us to speak what you want us to speak and do what you want us to do from this place, Lord God, to reach the world wherever people may be. Lord, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. And so it is, and so it is. I want to thank you for being with me today right here on Intentional, where we know that agents of change are not born, they are made. And every Sunday right here at 11 a.m., we come with the word of faith right here on AmericaOutloud.com. Don't forget to save us in your browser. Be a sweetie and go over to iTunes and save the app and share with your friends across social media. Love us back by doing that. Evangelize this show. And don't forget to join us again today at 4 p.m. for the encore. That's East Coast time, of course. And share that with your friend. Do something positive across social media by sharing AmericaOutloud.com. Don't forget to tune in every day at 5 p.m. for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure right here on America Out Loud. Love you. God bless you. And don't forget to live intentionally.